Chapter 1. Jarl Prater dropped his last coin into the rental box mounted on the pine wall and prepared to pick out a standing stone. The usual stack of flat stones by the mercantile's door was gone, so the young magic wielder had to head in and search the stock at the back. The cramped space where the slabs were stored made it hard for the 16-year-old to crouch down with his crippled leg stuck out to one side. Cohen Tomlar, the warder of stones and the shop owner, was busy with customers. Jarl peeked around a stack to estimate how much longer he had to get his stone and get out before he fell under the eye of the easily aggravated Tomlar. The man took great pleasure in embarrassing him. Jarl twisted about, pressing a lean hip against one of the expensive stacks he always ignored when he had to search the back area of the store. He needed a cheap, well-used, but still viable standing stone. He ran his fingers down the hard, flinty edges of a short stack that he could afford to choose from. They looked thinner, too, which he liked to think would make one easier to carry. The third edge his fingers came in contact with sparked against Jarl's fingertips and made them tingle. It was the strongest response he'd ever felt from a used stone. Thankful it was near the top of the stack, Jarl took a decisive breath. They were heavy, but moving two out of the way to get to the one would leave him still strong enough to carry the third out front to one of the complimentary booths. They were just 4-foot square spaces of dirt left of the front door. But the booths were the only opportunity that made it possible for Jarl to be available to clientele looking for a quick spell. If he could build up a regular set of customers, he would buy used but magic-rich stone and be able to have his clients come to his home for his services. But until then, renting a standing stone and waiting in the appointed space by the front of the store would have to do. So far, he'd only managed to earn enough each day to rent another stone the next morning. He ran his fingers over the surface of the top stone, flakes bouncing off as his fingers moved over the chisel marks. Vague vibration trembled against his hand. Assured it was not a good stone, Jarl gripped it and lifted with a grunt, turned and heaved it onto a taller stack. His shoulder muscles cramped with the effort, and he marveled at its weight and lack of even a trace of magic. Tomlar must be hoping to take advantage of a poor, low-talented wielder. He pivoted on the one foot supporting his weight and grasped the second stone. At his touch, it gave off a vaporous stink, and he hurried to move it aside so he could remove his hands from the remains of what must have been dark usage. Wielders that practice curses and poisoning magic tended to rent stones rather than use their own. Jarl wished yet again for a job worthy enough to earn him the coin needed to buy his own standing stone. Tomlar's gruff voice reminded him he should not dally at the back long. The shop owner would find some reason to berate him, even if it was just for daydreaming. "Grab the good one and get out before you draw Tomlar's attention," he told himself. He dug his fingers under the edge of his selected stones. Blood's beast! How was he going to pull the stone to his chest and rise up on his good leg in this cramped space? He turned yet again, grating his right shoulder and hip against a tall stack of high-end magic stones. The contact drew arcs of brilliant color and drifting dust particles like tiny stars. Jarl looked toward the owner of the mercantile at the front of the store and was happy to see he was still with the customer. Tomlar would accuse him of testing the merchandise if he caught him drawing arcs and magic debris from the expensive stones. He might even think Jarl had been passing magic into the rental he was touching. Jarl shifted his weight to the side and into the cloud of drifting essence. He felt the tingle against his skin as he soaked it up. With that simple gesture, the response faded, and Tomlar was still too busy to notice. Jarl adjusted his position again and rested a moment, while he judged the space between stacks that might offer a better stance for him. He stuck his right leg into the space between the two standing stone columns and settled his weight on the ball of his left foot. Jarl pulled his shoulders in and yanked the stone's far edge up. Then he yanked again and pulled it to his chest. Leaning forward and using his crippled leg as a lever, he stood up, holding his breath as he strained. Jarl rocked with the effort to remain upright against the tug of the stone in his arms, and only one strong leg to stand on. To counterbalance, he leaned back farther than he should, and tapped a stack behind him. Jarl felt it shift. Tomlar was still busy, thankfully, and Jarl closed his eyes and pulled at the stack behind him until he felt it find its balance. His fingers tingled with the strain of drawing the majority of the magic into his shoulders rather than through his whole body when he stood on a stone and felt the power rise up. He shuffled right, limping in a strangely graceful yet awkward manner out from the stacks.